Our reading today is from the sixth chapter of Matthew, verses 9 through 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Good morning. My message today is on how, in some translations, and how that scripture ends, which is, hello, hello. How about now? Hello, hello. Well, you know what? I can stand behind this thing. But I better put it away from my face or I'm going to blow your eardrums out. Because I'm so loud. That's a joke if you know me. that was the Lord's Prayer. And in many translations and in many times that it is read, it is ended with the phrase, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we are going to just take that one little section today and just discuss it and mull it over. Yeah, there we go. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The first thing that we notice when we study this this little bit of scripture is that it's the first part of the Lord's Prayer where we're not asking for something. And the prayer starts out with, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, give us this day, and forgive us our debts. You know, in each one of those things, we are praying for something to happen. We're praying for his kingdom to come. We're praying for his name to be hallowed. We're praying for our debts to be forgiven. But at this part, the final part, we're making a declaration. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Now, whenever in the Bible God has us make a declaration like that, or whenever he asks us a question, we find that the reason for this is not because he is looking for information. The reason is because he is trying to enlighten us. All throughout the Bible, there are places where God asks questions, and it's never because he doesn't know. Like when the Garden of Eden, he after they've eaten the forbidden fruit, he says, you know, where are you? What have you done? And in the book of Job, there's a long section where God is questioning, you know, where were you when I laid out the foundations of the heavens and the earth? And then in the New Testament, we see Saul on the road to Damascus, and Jesus is saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And in none of these situations did God not know the answer to the questions he was asking. He was having people answer these questions in order to enlighten us, in order to wake us up and get us to realize something. And I believe that this last part of the Lord's Prayer is for that purpose. It is for the people who are listening to understand and know that the kingdom and the power and the glory belongs to God, but also it is for the persons praying to remember that the one they are praying to, the kingdom and the power and the glory belong to him. Now, it is, when we think about it, At first glance, we say, yes, of course, the kingdom and the power and the glory belong to God, yes. But when we begin to think about our lives and our world, we think of instances and situations where, well, that kingdom does not belong to God, and that power is being used for ungodly purposes, and that glory is going to someone who is not God and who is not godly. So how can we make this declaration that all these things are God's and belong to Him if that is not the way things are? And I think that's kind of the second part of why God has us pray this, is to encourage us to remember to live our lives and to turn our lives so that it lines up with God's established order of the universe. He's given us free will, and when the kingdom and the power and the glory are given to Him, then we are using our free will correctly, and when we don't give it to Him, then that is what sin is. So we're just going to go through those three terms and discuss how we can model our lives according to God's established order, that the kingdom and the power and the glory belong to Him. To begin with, we'll talk about the kingdom. A kingdom, of course, is a system of government that's ruled over by a king. It is a very top-down form of government. And there have been kingdoms in this earth in the past, and there still are. There are other forms of government. But ultimately, the Bible teaches us that once God comes back and redeems the earth, that He will establish His kingdom, and that Jesus is our king, and He will be the ruler over all. And that will be beautiful and glorious, and we should all be looking forward to that day. But in addition to that, in our own lives, we each have things that we are the king over in our own lives. We have things that we have the final say on how they happen. And a kingdom, a king and a kingdom, that is a form of government and a form of authority. So you can look at it as the things in your life that you have authority over. We have authority in the different areas where we are. In our families, I think first and foremost, in our homes, we have a level of authority, but also in our jobs, in our schools, and all of the other things that we are involved in. What we ought to remember, and what I think the lost world has no reason to remember, but what we need to remember as Christians, and we shouldn't be led astray by the rest of the world who is setting a bad example for us, is that all the authority in how we run our households and in how we work and perform at our jobs and how we volunteer and this and that, all authority should come from Him. In other words, when it comes time to make a decision as to what is right and what is wrong, rather than making that decision just by what is culturally appropriate or what peer pressure tells us, we use the Scripture and what God says. In other words, when we enter any situation in our lives, we ask ourselves, God, how should I handle this situation? And if we do that in our homes, in our schools, and whatever, if we say, God, how do I handle this situation? And we remember the words that we've learned in the Bible, and we've learned the good teaching at church, and we respond appropriately, respond according to the good holy teaching, then that is how we establish the kingdom of God in our families and in our schools and in our workplaces. How do we give our power to God? Now, I think no one here has any doubt that the one who created the heavens and the earth, who spoke everything that exists out of nothingness, He's definitely all-powerful. So what power do we have that we could give Him? Well, each of us has a bit of power in our lives, one way or another. We have the efforts of our labor. And so as we work, as we do the things we do to serve or to make money, we can make choices to say, I remember hearing stories about newspapers that were run by Christians who would not publish the results of boxing matches because it was they said this is barbaric and we're not going to encourage this what we feel is a barbaric and an unchristian sport, and so they refused to publish things. And so they were using their power, their ability, what they had to say so, to glorify God. We have, now most of us, people like me who go to work each week and just, make apps for phones and get a paycheck, a lot of what I do is it's not anti-God, so I have no conviction about the things that I'm making, but at the same time, it's not really for God either. But what I can do is I can then take the money that I've earned as also another form of power and spend my money on godly things, supporting this church, supporting missionaries, local ministries around town, homelessness and that sort of thing. Just because maybe you can't spend your 9 to 5 hours directly serving God doesn't mean you can't then take the fruit of that labor and then use it to serve God. But there are some people who are in this world who are slaves, and there are some people who maybe who feel effectively like slaves, like they have really no say or no control about their lives. A slave is told what to do, and they perform their task, and they get no reward for it. And you say, how does someone like that have power? What power do they have that they can give to God? And the answer that belongs to them, and it also belongs to each of us, is influence. Every one of us has people who observe us and observe our lives every day. Even if you're a slave who gets nothing else and who has absolutely no say over what they are to do, you can live a life that shows that you believe in God, and by your attitude, you can demonstrate that God is real and alive in your heart. So, and I know there's a lot of people in here with families, with children and grandchildren, and I think, and I'm sure you the same way, a lot of the memories you have growing up are of the people who raised you, your parents and your grandparents, and the examples they set. And we've all heard the story about some famous preacher or evangelist who had a godly grandmother, and that godly grandmother set an example through a lifestyle of just prayer and obedience and loving God. And in the same way, each of us has the power of influence over family members, co-workers, friends. And so if we truly want to pray, God, for thine is the power, then what we really need to do is look at all the different ways that we have power and influence in other people's lives and say, God, this is for you. Anytime you're about to do anything, whether it's super important or just a menial daily task, if we stop and say, God, this is for you, then this is how we give our power to God. And God, he may check you and say, if that's for me, you better not do it. There are certain things that he wants us not doing. But assuming that what you're about to do is not forbidden in Scripture and that the Holy Spirit doesn't stop you, then just keep him on your mind as you work. Commit the work to him. Commit your attitude as you work to him. And then finally, the glory. This one seems to be the obvious one. God deserves all the glory. And yet in this world of ours, I think it's the one that he is most obviously robbed of. Glory goes to so many different people and things and organizations that are all ungodly. And none of it seems to get passed back along to him. When Jesus was praying, I think it was in John, he talked about how, the people come to me, the people glorify me and I glorify you, Father. He passed the glory that was coming to him, he passed it along to the Heavenly Father. And so, in one sense, that is how we can glorify God and to make sure that the glory that comes to us gets passed along to God. But I think even more importantly is that each one of us has a measure of affection and love that belongs to God. When we say when we ask ourselves, where does our glory go? What we're really saying is, where does our heart belong? Your heart needs to belong to God. And this is something that I struggle with because, again, in the world we live, there's so many distractions, so many things that that shine and sparkle and steal our attention from Him. And then we end up getting obsessed over these temporary earthly things and our feelings and our hearts towards God begins to kind of cool off. And what I personally have to do is spend time every day reminding myself of the goodness and the glory of God. I have to remember just how much sin of mine He has forgiven. I have to remember what a great price that He had to pay in order to forgive that sin. I have to just remember how every time I'm given a choice to follow Him or follow my flesh, my flesh pulls at me, and that it is only by His grace and His power that I am drawn out of my own sinfulness and back into the kingdom of light. And as I think about these things, and I think of how He is such a good shepherd who brings me along and who encourages me and strengthens me, then I my heart again, the love starts to build back up for Him. And then I can go through my day and go through my life truly in love with Him, and that is when my glory belongs to Him. And that is when it becomes easy to do all the things that previously I thought were difficult, like talk about God with coworkers. You know, when I'm more worried about my self-image and what people think of me, then you know, sharing with God is a difficult thing. But when I have spent the time to realign my mind and my heart, and when I fall just head over heels in love with God, then I forget about myself. And this is part of the process that the Bible says dying to yourself and crucifying your flesh is putting God as more important in your heart than even your own self. And so then when the opportunity comes up to talk about God or whatever, it becomes easy because He is the first thing on my heart already, and I don't have to stop and think, what should I say about God at this moment? And it becomes natural because He's already on my heart and on the tip of my tongue. So to give our glory to God, to say, God, Yours is the glory forever, there's not really, I know when we talked about the kingdom, we asked ourselves, God, how should I handle this situation? And when we talked about the power, we said, God, this is for You. But when it comes to the glory, it's not a declaration that we make God something. It's us remembering and reminding ourselves who He is and what He's done for us and what of ours belongs to Him, which is truly everything. And so we pray, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And it will be true someday, absolutely without question. Once Satan and sin is finally dealt with and finished on Judgment Day, and once we are parted ways with our old sinful flesh and finally brought into our new fully alive spiritual habitations, on that day, all kingdom and power and glory will belong to Him. But until that day, it is an attitude and a choice that we have to make. And so I pray that as you go throughout this week, just in every situation, ask yourself, the kingdom and the power and the glory in this situation, does it belong to God yet? And if not, how can I make it so? I'm going to pray as our singers come back up. Heavenly Father, You truly are wonderful, and You truly, all kingdom and power and glory belongs to You, God, and all that at this moment is being misappropriated, God, one day we'll come back to You, and so we take this moment right now, God, to humbly bow before You and ask for forgiveness for those times when we've given our authority and our power and our glory to anything other than You, God. and we repent of that, and we turn back to you, and we renew ourselves to you right now, this day. In Jesus' name, amen.